Hello everyone, we are back with Mohamed
Hello.
and I'm Julien for a new episode of our unnamed podcast that talk about Ligue 1 football. So to start this episode, I think we can talk about Nice, the actual leader with 4 points above Paris. One very, very strong start of the season for them.
They're doing it again. I don't understand how they keep doing this year after year. They lost two of their best attacking players. They lost one of their best midfielders. They got a new manager and they have a plus 11 goal difference, which I just find amazing on so many levels.
Yeah, to be fair, at the end of last season, we thought it was one of the teams that would have a very hard time having the same success. So yeah, nice to see them doing so well. They had a difficulty to find players to buy at the start of a transfer window. But at the end, they recruit Balotelli and Belanda, so to replace Germain and Ben Arfa, and it worked well so far.
Everyone's favorite striker, Mario Balotelli. I don't understand how they keep. I just don't understand how, like, the second year in a row they're getting a really talented attacking player who's on the brink of having their career ended, and they rehab him to the point of being really good again. And there's still some problems with Mario Balotelli. His fitness apparently isn't all that great still, but they're letting him do what he wants to do, which is basically shoot a lot and shoot very often and shoot from very good places at times as well, which is what Nice need, and he's given it to them, which is one of the most surprising things this season.
Yeah, I as a Liverpool fan, it's even more surprising. It was very bad with Liverpool, never asking the ball in the box, always shooting from far. Lot of difficulties completing his passes. Some bad dribbling. It's crazy how better he's been. It's not perfect. There's still problems with his passing game, but yeah, a lot better in the shoot in he tries from a much better position. Actually, he's a 5 on my expected goals shooter after four games he's been playing with Nice, so some nice things for Nice, and yeah, seem they always find a way to replace star player.
We should also say that number four on that list is one of our favorite players, Alisson Plea, who I was actually thinking he might struggle because Ben Arfa and Germain did a lot of good things for him in terms of opening space and letting him play as he wants. And he's been even better than he was before, which is also one of the more shocking things this season.
Yeah, that's true. Last season, I thought he was becoming more and more good, and there was an injury for him that slowed him down. So it's nice to see him come back.
Yeah, they also, you mentioned Belhanda, and he hasn't really been good since he left Liga originally when he was at Montpellier. And he's been pretty decent too. So it's just the number of It's just a number of highly unlikely scenarios adding up and giving Nice an opportunity to be where they are, which is 4 points above PSG at the top of the league.
After losing those kind of players, they needed to be perfect in the transfer window, and they seem to to make very good choices. And even a player like Eseric has been quite good for them. And yeah, the credits to Favre, obviously, too.
Yeah, do you remember the press conference when Balotelli was announced and he was kind of surprised that they signed him? That's one of my favorite. That was one of my favorite moments with Nice over the summer, just how shocked he was. But they also, it should also be noted that they have a 19-year-old center back who's been fine and fine so far this season, which
Yeah, Malang Sarr.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed very, very calm, very mature for a player his age.
So it also should be noted with Nice that they have a save percentage of 86%, which, I mean, they do. The one good thing with Nice is that the shot, they allow a lot of shots, but the average quality of those shots are pretty low. But even then, we're an 86% save percentage is, it's really, really, really unsustainable. So I think that's going to drop as the weeks go by.
The fact that Nice is conceding a lot of shots but not good ones is very something related to Favre. Only Metz is conceding more shots than them, but not a lot of them were big chances. So we can really see the difference Favre bring them.
With Puel last year, Nice would concede less shots, but the average quality of them were much closer to around average or even worse than that.
Yeah, I think even after seeing the start of this season, we can say that Nice was still a bit lucky last season, mainly in defense. But not only, but in defense, they are much better. Maybe not much, but they are better this season. And one of the thing Favre changed, it was the free player in a central defense with the signing of Dante.
So I'm looking at their schedule right now, and it is quite easy, relatively, because they've already played Lyon, they already played PSG, they already played Monaco. They and oh wait, no, sorry, I don't think they. No, they have not played PSG yet.
Yeah.
I apologize, but they did play Monaco and Lyon, and they beat them by a combined score of 6-0. And I mean, I don't think Nice are, I don't think Nice are going to be at the top of the table by like February or so, but you know, I wouldn't be quite surprised even with, you know, some of the stuff that they're getting lucky with, that by the time December is around, they are within a couple points here and there of being at the top of the table.
Yeah, because even on the first few matches, they've been a bit lucky. Some chances conceded in defense, but they seem to be better and better each game. So they will play next Metz, Nantes, and Caen. So if they got 9 points out of 9, I will not be surprised.
I mean, I would say their next difficult matchup, it's not till December when they play Toulouse at home, because Saint-Étienne aren't good. Bastia aren't quite as bad as they used to be, but I wouldn't consider them good either. It's basically, you know, it would probably be unrealistic to say that they should get, you know, they should get all the points until their matchup against Toulouse, but it's quite an easy schedule, all things considered.
Yeah, maybe not all the points, but Will they lose a game before Paris?
I don't know, actually. I'm trying to think, because Mets are terrible, and I think we'll talk about them a little bit at the end. Nantes are okay. Carr, not that good. Saint-Étienne are good. Bessières are average. I don't know. I think maybe the Toulouse matchup might be the one bef that I would say they would lose before they get to the PSG match.
Yeah, quite agree. Maybe we'll see. They cannot be perfect each game, and a defeat against Saint-Étienne or Guingamp maybe is possible. But they can be in a very good position in the league when they have to face Paris.
So I'm looking at the table right now. They are 6 points clear of Toulouse, who are fourth right now. They're 4 points clear of both PSG and Monaco. And I think more importantly, with their win against Lyon, they're 10 points ahead of them. So I might as well ask the question, do you think there's a chance they finish in the third Champions League spot?
Yes. Even if it's only 9 games in the season, it's still like one quarter of the season played. So the point they already have, they don't have to win them again. So I don't think it will be sufficient to not let Paris win the league again, but versus Lyon, I think they are favorite now to finish in the second or third place.
Yeah, because I'm looking at your expected points adjusted column in on your website, and you have them third ahead of Lyon and Toulouse.
Yeah, and I did a new simulation yesterday, and Nice just passed ahead of Lyon. The last win against them was a big win for the Champions League spot.
I'm starting to think that because I was really high on Leon going into the season, and I was still pretty high until maybe the last couple of weeks, but it's becoming really, really clear that when they're not fully healthy and when they're not playing a 4-3-3, they don't look anywhere close to being as good as they should be. And because of that, I'm starting to wonder, plus the 10-point gap already. Leon did kind of come back last year from this type of scenario, but God, trying to make up 10 points it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, and the difference is last season, even after 19 games, there was no real difficult team to play, except Paris, of course. Monaco was having problems in defense. After them, not that much very good or good team. In Ligue 1, but this season Monaco seemed to have found a good attack and a good defense. Obviously, they are not perfect yet, and the game against Toulouse was not very great from them. But they seemed better than last year. And Nice seem very solid, and not just with some lucky goals from Ben Arfa. So some difficult adversaries to pass by to hope to finish in the Champions League spot.
Right, as you say, it's a much more difficult league this year compared to last, because if my memory serves me right, weren't Angers and Caen the second and third best teams after 19 games last year in the table?
After 19 game, I'm not sure, but after 10 on 10 or 15, yeah, we know at the time that it was impossible to see them finish that high.
Right. I'm looking at the table right now, and no, I was wrong. Monaco were second, but only 2 points up on Caen and 1 point up on Angers. So yeah, it's a much different league, as you said before. So do you want to talk about Toulouse or Monaco?
Yeah, let's do it in the order of the league. And
Okay.
we started already to speak about Monaco, and we can continue.
Yeah, they are considerably better than they were at this time last year. Last year, their defense was terrible, and now it's much better. I still don't think it's quite as good as what it was a couple years ago when it was just really, really good, but it's much better than it was last
Yeah,
year.
the big difference is now this season they know who will play each game. They have a back four. They are confident about with a lot of recruits: Sidibé, Mendy, Glick, and Jemerson. So kind of a new back four, but they played well since start of the season. They did not change that much formation too. So they seem to be more confident about the way to play, and it should help them be more consistent.
They fully converted Fabinho from a right back into a pretty decent defensive midfielder as well, so that would help with defensive solidarity.
There were talk about him signing to Manchester, if I remember
Yeah.
well, as the transfer window. Very nice player who can play a lot of position, and often in maybe more in Champions League. He played in midfield last season, and he was great. And now we with CDB, he can easily only play in midfield.
Or also Raggy as a right back as well.
Yeah, maybe not the perfect
Yeah, I
position
wouldn't.
for him. Against Toulouse, it was a very difficult match for him. It was against Durmaz. A player, a new signing from Toulouse, and one who seemed to be a very good signing too. And yeah, I don't want if I am the coach of a team, I don't want him to be against fast players.
Right, exactly. But no, Monaco are pretty good. Like all their shot rates, all their, and even if you account for shot quality as well, they're all between 57% and, in a case of expected goal ratio, 62%, which is what you want from a Champions League contender. Not necessarily a team that's trying to win the title, but for sure to get into the top three. Because the one thing that they do have going for them is their conversion rate is sky high. Like in the same way that Nice's save percentage is ridiculously high, Monaco's conversion rate is also ridiculously high. It's pushing 50%.
They already played Paris. They already play Nice and Toulouse away from home. So their next batch of games are not that difficult. Even against Lyon, I think it will be very different than last season.
Right. Yeah, their schedule basically is pretty easy until they face Bordeaux on December 10, and then they play Lyon and then Conti and the first 19 games of their season. So yeah, as you said, it's just like Nice, like their schedule is pretty straightforward until December.
Apart from that, they had quite a few changes in up front. Falcao is back, but it seemed
Oh, he's there in spirit more so
yeah,
than in
he
actuality.
scored one goal, but it will not be surprising if it's only one out of the season. But more importantly, they have Valère Germain back after a convincing season with Nice.
Yeah, no, he's like the actual good striker that they have, because Falcao is he's done. Like I would be incredibly shocked if he had any role to play with Monaco this season, other than like one start here and there and stuff like that.
Actually, when looking at their goal numbers, it's quite a spread with Lemar, Fabinho, Silva, Bocilla, Carrillo, Germain, all the players to have scored more than one goal.
Well, Fabinho's goals are basically just
Yeah, true.
penalties.
But they have a deep they have a deep squad with all the players about the few season since this one, and often between Champions League games or when they have two games in the same week, they didn't hesitate to rotate their squad, and it could be important at the end of season two in comparison to team like Nice.
Who are really thin, and it's kind of showing in the Europa League when they're getting kind of slaughtered so far.
Yeah, it was a lot better when they made a few signings on the end of the transfer window, but still thin.
I'm looking at like the minutes for Monaco's player so far in Liga, and Nabil Diarra, who is actually quite decent last year. He's only played 192 minutes, which kind of shows the depth of what Monaco can do in terms of rotating towards European competition and Liga.
Yeah, player like Bernardo Silva seem to be much better physically than he was at some part of last season when he had difficulties to came back in the squad, and he's one of their best players, so it's nice to know they can count of their best player. Not too much injury too. So, all thing good on this part.
So I guess we should ask the same type of question we did with Nice, but I guess more in an elevated form. So with Nice, we kind of asked if they were Champions League contenders. With Monaco, do you think they're title contenders?
with Paris, it's so difficult to say that another team is contending for the title, but because it's a season of transition for Paris, and they have some difficulties with their squad too, they seem to discover that it's a thin squad after all. It's not that impossible. But there was still a few games where Monaco seemed not as good as they need to be to win the league against Nice, obviously, but against Toulouse too recently. It was not you cannot play like this. Moutinho can be in difficulties when you play in midfield too, like they do with Fabinho and Moutinho. It's difficult for the Portuguese because he is not the player he was a few seasons ago defensively, and in the repetition of run.
But this is the year if there's a year where you can use like a lot of luck to kind of win a title, this would be it. Similar actually in ways that it was in 2014-15 when PSG were struggling, but this year it's actually it seems like they're struggling a bit more than they were even that time too.
Just looking at some numbers from the game against Toulouse, and
It was bad.
fastly understand why I'm not that bought on Monaco.
Oh, I'm for the record, I'm not all that high on them either. I'm just trying to play the argument that maybe they could, but no, I don't think I'm not exactly all that high on them either. Even though we did admit that they're much better than they were this time last year, but yeah, no, their numbers against Toulouse was bad.
17 shots for Toulouse against only 4 for Monaco. 57% possession for Toulouse, who is not a team who is known for loving to keep the ball. So, some bad numbers.
Oh, although it should be noted with Toulouse that they were quite decent last year, albeit in a different way. They conceded more opportunities than they're doing now, but under Pascal Duprat, we're getting a bigger and bigger sample size, and his teams are pretty damn good defensively.
Yeah, big difference last season before and after the Dupraz game. And it's weird to hear that Toulouse is good defensively because I don't know if you remember the start of last season, of course, but also Dupraz when he was coaching Evian, and it was not a very good defensive team.
No, right, exactly.
But I saw an interesting fact not a long time ago. There was only a few teams that won against Paris and Monaco in the same season. It was Toulouse this season, and Evian 2 times during the reign of Dupraz. So he seemed to like when he was coaching Evian. Often they like to have the scalp of the big teams of the league. And now that he is with Toulouse and a much better talented side, he seemed to find his way to win against a smaller side too.
And just like Nice, they have an under 20 center back who's doing quite decently. So I don't, I they're pretty damn good. They also have finally found a goalkeeper, and he's isn't he like 17 years old or 16? I don't even know how old he is, but he's really, really
He
young.
was 16 last year, 17 this season.
They finally found a goalkeeper. It took them ages, but they finally found one.
A goalkeeper and a central defender pairing with Diop, who is also a young player, only 19, and Julien, who just came, was a new signing. Yeah, I saw their game against against Toulouse, and I was
You mean against
Monaco,
Monaco?
of course, and I was quite impressed. Their defense is much better than last season, and there's some players who were still there last season, and were already showing some good signs. Like Frejo, or of course Braithwaite, our friend,
Yeah.
who seemed
He's finally learning how to
to
finish.
finally understand what was he was supposed to do with the ball when facing the goalkeeper. Already 6 goals for him this season. There's not a lot of players who scored apart from him.
Right, it's basically him and I guess whenever Ola Toivonen has been playing, which I would not want to bet my chances on having Ola Toivonen score goals.
Yeah, he was okay when taking the charge of leading the attack during Braithwaite's injury. I was still worried then after his injury they would be very in difficulty to win games, but it seemed they found a way to win games without scoring that much. They won against Paris during this spell, and he's back now, so it was nice to see him play again against against Monaco. Two goals and one assist for him. I am quite excited to see what will be his number at the end of the season.
Okay, let me set a line. 15 goals in Ligue 1 this season, over or under. He's at 6 right now, and his conversion rate on all his shots, including penalties, are at 23%, which is pretty high, but and it's like doubled what his usual average is. His conversion rate in the 3 seasons before has been between like 8 and 11%.
Yeah, he is at 6 goals in 6 matches, 29 games left, so he will score 35 goals maybe.
Okay, so over under 15.
Around 15. If you count penalties,
I'll count
16.
penalties. 16. Okay. Because he's also so the thing with him that I really like is he shoots a lot and they're all within like the 18-yard box, which is a good sign because if my memory serves me correct, when we talked about Toulouse last year, you kind of had some issues about how Braithwaite would be without Ben Yedder.
Yeah, I thought.
Is that correct or?
Yeah, it was quite. I thought it's the kind of player, because he was so wasteful, sometimes when shooting, that is at his best when having some a striking partner who can scrap all his one-on-ones against goalkeepers. Even he was. Quite good at creating opportunities for his partners, something he do less this season. But yeah, he make all of us stupid now.
Well, kind of. I mean, we did like him. We
Yeah.
liked him in the sense that, like, he creates a lot of good opportunities for himself. It's just that he could never finish. So, I mean, maybe, I guess this is the year he might finish the chances that he's getting. So, I don't know. But I think the one thing I'm kind of worried about with Toulouse in comparison to the other teams is that if it's not Martin Braithwaite, I don't know where the goals are coming from, which was what you basically said before, but I don't know. Like, Trejo is a really, really good midfielder, but I wouldn't exactly ask him to score goals. And I've seen Ola Toivonen's work at Rennes, and it wasn't the most inspiring. Let's just leave it at that. And he's 30 years old. So I don't know if Braithwaite gets injured again. I think they might be kind of screwed in terms of like trying to qualify for continental football.
Yeah, but I don't think it's their goal for the season.
Oh, I know. You're right. I'm just saying like kind of like their high upside, I think, is finishing fourth or I guess fifth if the cup competitions kind of work their way, you can qualify for the Europa League that way as well. So
Yeah, I know, and I understand what you're saying. It's just that it will probably will be a good season for them after this start, and I don't know about Toulouse without Braithwaite. The thing is, I didn't saw a lot of him, but I really like Durmaz, when I saw him play. He don't have an assist yet, but I think he will get a few one soon. But after this, I don't know. Trejo should be scoring more and assisting more. He started very well on that front. The one I was kind of excited to see at the start of season, I wrote about it. It's Hudson-Edouard from on loan from Paris. He didn't have too many game time since the start of the season, but
Yeah, he's at 307 minutes so far.
yeah, I would like to see him play. He scored a lot of goals on the young teams, so it would be interesting to have him score goals too for Toulouse to have another player outside of Braithwaite contributing to the scoreboard.
Right. So, what is the best case scenario for Toulouse this season? I don't think personally it's the Champions League. I think it's fourth place, but I was wondering what you think. Like, if everything goes right for them, what do you think is their best case scenario?
Yeah, best possible is fourth place. If I had to choose, I don't know. You have to ask the question who is better than them.
All right, let's you want to do that?
And Nice, sure. Paris,
PSG,
sure.
Monaco.
Monaco, sure. And after that, Lyon, probably.
Probably. We're assuming that at some point they'll go back to playing a
No,
4-3-3.
I'm pretty sure with the comeback of Lacazette, it's so important for them now, and even more this season. At the start of the season, he was scoring all the goals up for them. So,
Yeah, there was a tweet by Ted Knudsen, which his radar was basically looking like a Lionel Messi one, which was quite startling. Yeah, did you see that tweet? Like the one with like the predictive radar and like all his numbers were like filling the chart, which was quite stunning.
each season he seemed to become better, and last season he had a difficult time starting the season, but yeah, he hit the ground running this time, and we saw the impact of him when he injured himself. Of course, not the only reason to some of Lyon losses, but still very important for the team. With him back, I still think Lyon is better than Toulouse.
Right.
But after,
Bordeaux? I don't know. I feel like that's like a 50-50 right there between Toulouse and Bordeaux. I think Bordeaux have more attacking talent, but I also think they're considerably like more shaky defensively as well.
yeah, in midfield, they have to perfect their automatism because they are far from ready. But I will probably bet on Bordeaux finishing. I don't know. I don't know if they on talent on the squad, they should finish higher. And they're only 3 points behind Toulouse.
Right.
But when you look at the performances since the start of the season, Bordeaux have been very hit and miss. Some good games, some bad games too. Depends what Gourvennec can do to perfect them as the season continues.
Your simulations have to lose just behind Lyon in fifth place with 63 points, which seems about right. I mean, we kind of went through the list, and outside Lyon, Nice, Monaco, and PSG, on what they're doing right now, what they did over the last kind of couple months with Duprat, I kind of do think Toulouse might be the fifth best team this year. And if, things go right, maybe they do finish in the top four. I mean, it would have to be a lot of good things to go their way, but I mean, we live in a world where Nice are 4 points ahead of PSG, so why not? So, do you have anything else to say about Toulouse, or do you want to move on? Because you have a, there's a couple topics that you wanted to talk about specifically, and I want you to kind of get it off your chest.
Just to finish about Toulouse, the main thing that could go wrong for them, it's we talk about it, the squad and their offensive player, because we're happy that Braithwaite is scoring like crazy right now, but he still can revert to his last season form, so they don't want to be too much ambitious right now about their situation. Yeah, let's talk a bit about some less good team, or maybe more some.
Well, the one of the teams you wanted to talk about was Angers, and they're fine. Like, I think they're proper mid-table quality. And no, their shot ratios, all their even expected goals, they're fine. Like, it's not great, but it's fine. You have them in the top six in terms of expected points adjusted so far this season. And I would argue that they've kind of been a little bit unlucky. Like, in maybe an alternative world, they would be a couple places ahead, maybe closer to Toulouse for fourth place, but I know you wanted to talk about them, so I'll let you do it.
I very like the way Angers is run for a team that just came in Ligue 1 last season, and they had already a very, very good season for their first in Ligue 1. They finished ninth after a second part of the season that was much, much difficult, more difficult than the first part. And what I like about Angers is the staff look at the problems and he try to solve them. They had problem generating shots last season, but they were very good defensively, scored a lot of set pieces, and their coach often talked about the way he tried to be more to be smarter than other team on set pieces, so it was a deliberate choice. And this season, they decided to bought two of the best goal scorer in League Two. Even last season, a lot of the players who were very good for them, like Endoy or in defense with Thomas, came from other club in League Two. Often they didn't even bought them. They came for free, so they try to do the same, and they actually the second best team in terms of shots. So it seems it succeeded. I like I like the way they try to found a solution to last season problems, even after a really good season for them.
Yeah, it really should be noted how amazing it is that they're easily mid-table quality, and last year they were in third place after 19 games or so. Like, for teams that are coming from Ligue 2 to Ligue 1 to Ligue 1, or just even in general European football, having that type of meteoric rise is pretty insane.
Yeah, and I like the fact that even after this season, they knew that it would be very hard to have the same success with set pieces, for example, and because it's very inconsistent from one season to the next. Yeah, and Ekambi already scored 2 goals and 1 assist, and Diédou already scored four goals, so some good recruitment.
Yeah, they do really well in terms of finding cheap talent that overperform relative to what we kind of think they are as players. So, is there anything else you want to talk about, Andre? I'm being quite honest, I don't have much opinions on them other than they're pretty decent and it's remarkable what they're doing, but I don't have too many other opinions about them.
No, just to conclude about their recruitment. For the two strikers I talked about, Ekambi and Diédou, and Santa Maria, they seem to have paid only 3 million euros for the three of them. So that is why a smarter team can do better than the rest of the league, even with a small budget.
Also, I'm looking at the ages of their squad. Like, those three guys are much younger compared to everyone else. Everyone else is around 27 to 32 at the oldest. So it's good to have some young blood in there to kind of freshen things up.
These two players are already their two best players in terms of expected goal and expected assist. So, yeah, and Shaquen Doyle is still doing what he did last season. And yeah, like you said, they also try to find a solution for having a much younger side. And Santa Maria, it's the midfielder midfield player they bought is only 21 too. So it was a clear choice of them.
So we talked about Andre. You wanted to also speak about Mets, who are really bad, and it's almost a borderline miracle that they're nowhere kind of close to relegation zone so far, considering that their numbers are bad, really bad.
They have the same number of points than Lyon. So
And they have one more point than Marseille, so.
yeah, but this is expected. So
Hey, that's not funny. But no, I get it. Yeah. No, it's quite surprising.
but Metz is your typical club. That at the start of the season start to win games, gain points, but by being bad and by still playing bad. So
Yeah.
it's the team you know will lose games in the next match day, and we'll see them around the relegation zone. And fast, I think.
I mean, I kind of did a little research on just the amount of, like, they're conceding 18 shots a game. So I kind of wanted to see, like, what were the highest amounts. And the highest total I found since Opta data has been publicly used, so 2009-10 to now, the highest was 16.9 by Ajaccio in 2011-12, and then followed by Troyes last year at 16.6. And Troyes were one of the worst teams in the history of Liga, and I just don't quite. There's nothing sustainable but giving up 18 shots per game. I mean, even Ajaccio, they survived that year when they conceded 16.9 shots, but I don't know. This is a they're bad. They're just really, really bad.
Yeah, and Ajaccio didn't deserve to stay in Ligue 1
Yeah.
that season. But yeah, worst team in numbers of shot conceded, and worst team in number of shot for them. So with that kind of numbers, Obviously, they still already have 13 points, and when a team in the relegation zone, Lille have 7, Lorient have 6, and Nancy, who obviously will will get back to Ligue 2 like they always do, always seem to do, have only 5 points. But if I had to bet, I would not be surprised to see Metz be relegated at the end of the season.
Do you think if when they get relegated, because I think they're going to get relegated as well, do you think they'll get relegated as the worst team or just like 18th, 19th? It really doesn't matter, but I'm just kind of wondering just for curiosity. Do you think they're going to finish as the worst team in Liga? Because like stats-wise, they look like the worst team in Liga.
I think Nancy is the worst team in Liga, and it will ha be hard to for them to be as bad
Oh yeah, that's true. I didn't realize how bad Nancy were.
because Nancy already have one foot in Ligue 2, but yeah, when you look and you see Lille and Lorient, obviously they have better squad than the Metz, and we'll see if the point they already have will be sufficient to not finish in the last three spot.
Oh yeah, I got a question. I'm not sure if it's this year or not. Is Liga doing the relegation playoff where the 18th place team plays against, I think it's the third best team in Ligue 2? Or is that, was that not like official?
Yeah, you're right to speak about that. Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, because it changed a lot, it's supposed to be this season. Two team relegate and one team in a playoff game.
Right, because the Bundesliga does this where they have like
Yeah.
their third worst team play, their I think it's the third best team in the Bundesliga second division. So I thought that they didn't get it official, but maybe they did. Because if that's the case, then I mean, maybe Metz could survive a playoff against the third best league side. Because I know nothing about league two, so I don't know like what the how their strongest side would be compared to. How their third strongest side would be compared to like Mets or something like that, but I guess that's the one good thing is that you don't get automatically relegated even if you finish 18th.
Yeah, you're right, and it's an important point. I just look on the official website, and yeah, it seemed to be the case this season.
All right then, that's interesting.
So when with already 13 points, maybe they can finish like 18th and be saved. Because we were talking about relegation, one word for Lille, who
I don't know. They're really, really bad. I saw them let this is how bad I know Lille are. They let Ola Toivonen just go from the around the halfway line to their own box and score. So I think that's kind of my perfect illustration of how bad Lille have been this year.
this is crazy, because last season we thought they were better under Antonetti, but they were quite lucky too, and maybe not as good as it seemed, but still not a relegation contender.
And they also had a signing that we really liked in Dupervil, who was one of the best players in Ligue 1 last year. We really liked that signing, and that hasn't worked at all either.
Yeah, but did he play? Only 256
Oh.
minutes. It's not zero, but
Yeah, that's not a lot. I had this assumption that he's been playing at least like close to 500 minutes, but I guess I was wrong. God, they do not have a lot of attacking talent, though. They shouldn't be this bad, but like, boy, it's kind of bad.
free if you have a front players with Eder, Ronny Lopez, and De Préville, You should not be in the relegation place.
That's true. God, Ronnie Lopez is taking 4.2 shots per game. I don't think that's a good sign for your attack if that's the amount.
Yeah, because those shots are from outside the box. 3.2 from outside the box.
Yeah.
And not like a good good choice.
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing about Mets. Like the same type of game we played with Toulouse, let's play it with Mets. Who are worse than Mets? Let's kind of play that same game. Do we think Lille is worse than Mets?
No.
Okay.
They will change their coach and it will be better. So
Okay.
I'm not that worried. Except they are the first worst team in points, but also in expected points. So not unlucky, just bad.
Okay, so Lorient, do we think they're worse than Mets?
No.
Okay, Nancy.
We can to be faster. I think
Okay,
only Nancy
fair
is worse
enough.
than Metz, but it's not sure they will go back to Ligue 2. But if Metz is not going to Ligue 2, the two teams going with Nancy, one of them will be a surprise.
You want to make a guess on who that would be? Like who finishes 18th? Like if we assume Mets and Nancy get 19th and 20th in whatever order, who do you think gets in that relegation playoff?
Are you worried about Caen?
Kind of.
We talk about them, and we thought some of the signs were bad. Interesting team, and often have good numbers, but it was on a very thin line between winning and losing game. And it seems this season they are more on the losing game side.
They also had a really good striker last year, and in Andy Delort, and this time around they don't. So
Santini started well, but
yeah, he's been okay. I mean, he's got 4 goals in 663 minutes, which is, you'll take that, but outside of that, it's not all that good in terms of attacking talent.
of course, the defense is a problem. Worst defense in the league with Montpellier.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, 6 of those goals came from that PSG match.
Yeah, and 7 goals came
Yeah,
from
from
the
Mets.
Monaco game for Metz.
That's fair. Yeah, it'll happen, I guess. All right, so.
It will more often happen to bad team.
True. Are you worried about? No, I just want to say this one team. Are you worried about Bastia? I think for once, I'm actually not all that worried because their numbers are okay, and like that's much, much better than they were than they have been over the past couple of years. So.
Same here. I like their transfer window.
Me too.
Not some perfect players, but some fast young players who can create things, and it was lacking for them often. Even if there will be miss, there will be bad choices. Missed pass. I think they will create dangerous chances often.
I mean, they're giving Saint-Maximin all the time he needs, and he's been all right. Like he's been okay. I do agree with you. They did pretty nicely this summer. I kind of wish they kept Kamenu for one more season, because that would have been cool to see him, Saint-Maximin, and Nangis. But yeah, I'm actually not all I'm not worried too much about Bastia this year, which is something I couldn't have said the years prior. So. I guess looking at the teams, I guess it's Lille and Caen who are, I guess for me, who are teams that I'm kind of concerned about for finishing.
Not Dijon.
Oh yeah, I forgot they exist. I forgot about them. You know what? I take that back. Yeah, we'll put Dijon there too. Dijon or Caen, I guess. I guess Lille are probably a bit too talented to let that happen.
Yeah, I'd say the same. Dijon or Caen for 19, maybe between. I think we'll see Dijon, Caen, and Metz for the 17 to 19 spot.
Yeah.
Lorient is kind of worried because they have only 6 points. And the worst thing is last season, if you compare to last season games, they have less point than last season, of course. But me it's it means the next game will be even more difficult, so
I mean, I guess the good thing for them, Lorient, is they play Dijon on Saturday, so that's kind of like a 6-point game in a way. So, is there anything else that you wanna? Is there anything else you wanna talk about, or do you wanna kind of leave it here? 'Cause we've been talking for quite a while.
no, I think we had a good tour of the league. Yeah, obviously, we succeeded in not talking too much about our respected team, and I think we will leave it at that.
Yeah, hopefully this episode doesn't get deleted because we had problems the last time we recorded, so fingers crossed.
Yeah. So. We'll try to do the next episode before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah in
Maybe a couple weeks or so. All
yeah
right.
and yeah see you next time.
All right, bye-bye.